Hello, family, and welcome back to another episode of the Pulse podcast. Don't worry. I know you're looking at your screen and you're like, where's Pastor Troy? Well, you're going to be hearing from Pastor Troy today. It's not going to be me blabbing the whole time. It's not going to be Rebecca chatting the whole time. Although I know you love us. We're part of the fam as well. But I know why you came here. You want to hear a word from Pastor Troy, and that's what you're going to get today. So don't worry. Before we get to that, though, I just want to take a moment to greet you, to welcome you to our podcast. We're so happy that you've joined us. And I also have in the studio with me the one and only Rebecca Tamayo. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to be back. And we're excited for today. We just want to remind everybody to comment, to share. Don't forget to put there, hey, I'm from Alabama or Oklahoma. We have different countries tuning in right now. We have Switzerland. We have Canada. We have Mexico. We
have Venezuela.
We have Belize. So thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to comment, share. When you comment and share, this is what we call in-house, that you are being a media missionary and you're able to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And if any time you are prompted that you want to give or you want to pour plant a seed, sow a seed, why don't you, you go to troybrewer.com and go click give, or you can go to odx.tv, or you could just call us at 877-413-0888. I always forget that last eight.
Okay.
I don't know if it just goes 0888888 and I want to do all these
but
eights.
People see it on the screen. I know. So they get it. It's like, there are so many things going on in the house today. Mm-hmm. And you are going to be hearing from Troy. We're actually going to show a word that he just gave recently that I know is going to bless you. Right now, Pastor Troy is with Eric Steckelback, though, filming a show that's going to air on Eric Steckelback's show, on his program. It's going to be really incredible. We'll let you guys know when that's available. I'm not sure what the air date is for that yet. But God has just been opening up so many doors for this ministry. There have been so many incredible rescue projects on the table for us that God has called us to, so many opportunities to rescue more kids in the States here, which is really cool. Like, the doors have been open to us. And so we just so appreciate every single person who stands with us, who partners with us, and who joins us at odx.tv as a stage two or three partner. That fee that you pay monthly, it goes towards helping us rescue kids. And then as a bonus, you get access to all of our content there 24/7. And so we're just so appreciative of every single person that joins us there. So today we're going to dive in to Pastor Troy's sermon from Easter Sunday, from Resurrection Sunday. And we have been getting such an incredible response to it.
Yes, we have. It was honestly, being in-house was amazing. And just the word that was downloaded in a whole different perspective. You guys are going to want to watch this.
Yeah. It's really good. And I think a lot of times, you know, Pastor Troy says it all the time. It's like, especially on Resurrection Sunday and on Christmas, they put on this hat of like, okay, we're going to do a seeker friendly service now, 'cause we're going to have so many visitors. So it's going to be seeker friendly. And Pastor Troy is so not that way. And if you know him, you know, he's not that way. He's like, we're going to just break it. We're going to take it to the gospel, to the Bible. We're going to preach Bible. People need the meat. And that's what he gave. And it was just the simple meat of the message of the resurrection.
Absolutely.
That's what he brought. And it was so good. It wasn't with a lens of, we got to make the seeker, we got to make this easy to digest. He was like, no, here's meat on a platter, spiritual meat.
So good.
Be blessed. And so I know it's going to bless every single one of you today. So guys, just enjoy this, and also know that his sermon notes for this are at odx.tv. So if you want the sermon notes of this message, in addition to your own notes that you're probably going to take as you listen, you can go to odx.tv and get those. Guys, watch this.
My goodness, it's Resurrection Sunday. Wow. Well, guys, I want to welcome you here and welcome everybody all over the world. I'm glad that you guys made it here today. I call y'all blessed. And today, guys, I have the incredible privilege for the 31st time to stand up here and give you the good news. I got good news. I do. He is risen. He really and truly is. You know, preachers feel a pressure at this time of year. I remember the first time I was putting together my Easter message. I was 29 years old whenever we started this church, and I was like, oh my gosh, I mean, I don't know what to do. And you kind of feel like, you know, Rocky and Bullwinkle. I don't know if you remember that, you know, hey Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit from out of my hat. You know what I'm talking about? Like, everybody knows this message, and it's like, I got to do it right because everybody's going to be judging me. It's like if I was making a new Tombstone movie. Like, so many better preachers than me, and so many, and you feel this as a young man. I felt this tremendous pressure of Man, I remember being up all night long, and I'd do like 10 sermons, and I'd lay them all out, and I'd look at them, and then I would Frankenstein them together, and I'd say, okay, I think that this is the one, and then I never stuck with my notes. So my default was I would just pick up my guitar, and I'd just start jamming. That's what I'd start doing. Well, I'm 59 years old now. I'm going to be 60 this year, and I don't feel that responsibility that I did as a young man, as far as I really hope I impress people. I really do. I don't really feel that anymore. What I feel is the fear of the Lord. And that's a whole lot better place to be. And when I stand up here today, I feel this huge responsibility in the midst of smoke machines and fog machines and skinny jeans. And I want to tell you right now, this brother ain't never going to put on skinny jeans. I ain't never going to do it. I ain't gonna do it. I can't breathe as it is, man. And we do have some fog in here every now and then, but I'm an old rock and roller, and I like a little bit of fog, to tell you the truth. I actually like that. Helps out with the lighting a whole lot. But I just feel the weighty presence of the fear of the Lord in my life today, and just go, I've got to just tell you purely and honestly that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead, and he is coming back again. Amen. It's the most beautiful story that's ever been told. There's no story that's ever been told that has transformed more lives, saved more souls, and brought more hope, and brought more sanity to the world than the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to do my best today to try and tell you why that's a big deal and a little bit about what happened and what it means to us. And you would think, man, in the midst of it, I'm so excited about telling you this beautiful and this incredible story. It's so incredible. You would think that people would be like, okay, if that's a cool story, I want to hear that. And if that could change my life, then I definitely do want to hear that. But I want to start off here by telling you something that probably I'm the only preacher in America that's going to stand up and preach this kind of a resurrection message. But this is the reality that all of us know, and it's this: the resurrection story is hated today. It's hated. And I want to address that first. And like, why is the resurrection story hated? I mean, how could you hate the fact that somebody died for us and then somebody resurrected for us? How could you hate that story? Well, it's because the haters of Jesus have the microphones today, and they have the attention of the world today, and they run many nations. They actually run cities here in the United States of America. And there's a lot of hostility against the message, the sweet and perfect message that I'm going to give you today in a very imperfect way. There's so much hated. There's so much hatred towards it. See, there are true enemies of the resurrection of Jesus, and they are opposed to the story of how Jesus conquers death. I want to just remind you this. I'm just going to just tell you this, because this is not a political issue. This is a light and darkness issue. This is a heaven or hell issue. This is a death or life issue. And they have put it into a political category so that squeamish Christians will not address it. And they're counting on me to be squeamish today. And here's what I'm going to tell you. You don't know me. You don't know me. Because I'm the guy that will break your cringe meter if you brought it. And I want to say to all of our wonderful visitors that are here today, if you're like, well, wait, I just want you to read the Bible, and I don't want you to say, I don't need any kind of commentary about anything going on here today. You'd be better off at Starbucks. And I didn't put this message for you, the people who are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I put this message together today for people who are actually born again because Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. It was literally 2 years ago today, on this day, that President Joe Biden and his amazing administration called Easter Sunday Trans Awareness Day. Do you guys remember that, or have you forgotten that? Because I haven't forgot it. This is what they do, and this is what they did, because they hate the message of a resurrected Jesus. While the city of Houston celebrated Ramadan as culturally relevant Muslim Holy Week that has a beautiful tradition in our American history, which is a lie. That is a lie. That is not the truth. And while the mayor of Houston, Texas celebrated Ramadan and made a really big deal out of that, for this weekend, he announced that they were not going to be working this coming Friday because of the spring holiday. No recognition of the resurrection of Jesus, no recognition of Good Friday, because he hates the message of the resurrected Jesus. Prince Charles of England, who is the head of the English church, and his title is the Defender of the Faith, he preached a Ramadan message and refused to preach today on this day. And said, well, it will be too offensive to all of our Muslim brothers and sisters who have given so much and contributed so much throughout the years. He didn't mind. Well, he is the defender of the faith, and today he took a day off. I thank God that I'm not dependent upon him to defend my faith. Hey, I want to talk to you, King Charles. Hey, listen, repent. Repent. Bow your knee as a king to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. I have been looking at all these things and just going, my goodness, how crazy this is. Islamic leadership and Muslims who have microphones all over the world have challenged their Muslim brothers to attack us on this day and to burn down our churches all over the world. And it's actually happening all over the world right now. In Canada, another of the great churches, which more than 50 in the past year have been burnt to the ground. And everybody's like, well, we don't know what the motive is. Okay, if you ever hear the press say that we don't know what the motive is, it means they're either Muslim or trans. That's what it means. Because they don't ever know what the motive is with that. Because it goes against their narrative of who they are trying to protect. Here's what I would like to say to the people of God. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived by these things. Love Jesus more than you ever have, and stand for Jesus more than you ever have, even in the midst of incredible hostility. Pastor Troy, I don't like you talking about politics. Then don't make it about politics. Make it about light versus darkness. Make it about the enemies of Jesus and those who will stand with Jesus. Listen, we didn't get into their lane. They got into ours. And they demand us to leave our own lanes. They want our kids, they want our families, they want our nation, they want our freedom, and they do not want us to be able to freely worship Jesus together. In contrast, there are others, and I want to just tell you something. The White House writers put together this message. I mean, this is the day that we live in, and it's not even on the news. This is what came out from the President of the United States this weekend. In case you just... I'm not going to try and talk like Trump. So he says, this Easter Sunday, the First Lady and I join with Christians all across our nation and around the world in rejoicing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, whose triumph over sin and victory and over death secured the promise of redemption and the hope of eternal life for all who believe in him as Lord and as Savior. When political speechwriters at the White House preach better than the pulpits of America, that gets my attention. And here's what I'm just going to just tell you this. The thing that has come into the church, the thing that has come into the body of Jesus, the thing that has come into all of our politics all over the world and into our mayors and into our school systems is this thing that has conveniently been called woke. And here's what I'm going to tell you. If it's woke, it's actually demonic, because Jesus is never woke. Jesus is never woke. Ever. I submit these things to you today because There is great hostility against the message. Incredible hostility. And while they say, no, no, there's not. Actually, we're all friends. They're liars. And we know that. And we know what they do. We know what they have done. We know that while they have Trans Awareness Day to stop the genocide in America that is taking place against all of these trans people, which is a lie. It's not Christians that are going after trans people. It's trans people that are mowing down our children in the schools. It is trans people over and over and over and over and over again who pick up guns and go into society and they murder innocent people. It's no, you're not going to call good evil and evil good on my watch. You're not going to do that. And this is not the battle I want to fight, but it's the battle you brought to me, and you're not going to make me back off. That's... So we're not here today to celebrate the Easter Bunny. We're not here today to celebrate Ishtar or mentally ill members of our society that fantasize and pretend to be a different gender. We will not worry about the haters of the message or those who would blaspheme the message of the cross. We will not even consider their evil threats today. We are here today to celebrate the very real resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious reality that he has slapped death in the face for all of us. Hey! We're here today to proclaim that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. He is coming back soon, and there's nothing anything woke or Islamic can do about it. Nothing. We're here today to stand tall and unafraid as loyal followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and declare that we are saved, we are forgiving, because our Redeemer lives. And in spite of the devil's best efforts to keep us from assembling together, we are here today with Transform Lives because Jesus Christ loved us enough to save us. And that is the truth. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated, please, and open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Yeah, I want to tell you, man, if I can just go ahead and tell you this, nobody got up whenever we found out that there was a car parked in the wrong place. But we've had several people get up and leave since then. That's the day that we live in today. Well, everybody is welcome. I am not going to tailor how I bring Jesus to the enemies of Jesus. I'm just not going to do it. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. I don't understand it. So 1 Corinthians in chapter 15... Paul is telling us that without the resurrection of Jesus, the rest of all of this is a bunch of phony baloney. And I have the gift of real, and I want to be involved in just things that are real. You know, I don't want to be a part of something that isn't real. And that's one of the reasons why woke makes me insane, because woke wants you to accept a lie as truth every time. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I have a tremendous value for what's real and what's true. In these last days, we have to be determined to not be deceived. So Paul is talking about the resurrection of Jesus. Now, he's talking to the Corinthians. And man, he had a lot of trouble out of the Corinthians. A lot of trouble. And so he says this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." And he says, of course, there is maybe a chance that you believed for nothing and that you were just hoodwinked and that this doesn't mean anything, because that would mean that the resurrection is not real. So Paul begins to address this. He says, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that, my friend, is the Old Testament, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas. Now remember, he's not talking to our Jewish brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. He's talking to our Greek brothers and sisters in Corinth. And so they spoke Greek, and they didn't call him Peter. They actually called him Cephas. And he says, and then he was seen by the 12. This is after he's resurrected. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain even to this present day, but some have assumed room temperature or fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. And then last of all, well, he was seen by me also as my one born out of due time. He's like, look, I was late to the party, but Jesus did show up to me. That's a good testimony. He said, for I am the least of the apostles, and I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle because I did persecute the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than all. Yet not I, but again, the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached and y'all believed. He goes, that was what was supposed to happen. Now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, I want to just kind of talk about that if, because when I mentioned all of these haters, you know, the writer Dan Brown, the actor Tom Hanks, a whole bunch of other guys, they don't mind you being a Christian as long as you don't fall into the lunacy that Jesus is resurrected from the dead, because that makes us all crazy people. And Paul says, now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how does some of you say that there is no resurrection? Because now this new doctrine had crept into the church. Well, it's not really necessary for us to make such a big deal out of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not really necessary. In fact, we believe he was good. We believe he was awesome. We believe he was great. But it's just too much for us to say he actually has conquered death. And he's like, wait a minute. Okay, let me backtrack here. How this worked was we preached it, you believed it, and then you stand in it. But now, if we preach this, and if you said you believe it, how come some of y'all are saying that you don't believe this anymore? Well, because if we preach that, we might offend the visitor who doesn't love Jesus. If we preach that, we might set off an algorithm and we might get flagged on Facebook or actually taken off of YouTube. Well, if we preach that, we're going to make the local ministerial alliance mad at us because we're not being friendly to the people within the community. That's what they're going to accuse me of. If we preach Jesus is resurrected from the dead, you're going to have some local liberal accuse you of really bad things. That's why. And that's why it's really iffy if people will stand upon the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, no, 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 this is definitive. There's lots of things I'm learning. There's lots of things that I'm bending on. There's lots of things that, you know, I've got leeway on. But man, when it comes to him being resurrected, no, sir, I'm not going to give that up for anybody. Hallelujah. So Paul addresses that and he says, well, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. So if there isn't resurrection, and if resurrection is not available to all of us, then you need to know the first one that was resurrected, which is Jesus. Well, then that means that he's not risen. And then he said, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. He's like, there is no Christianity without Jesus Christ being resurrected from the dead. It's not like, you know, the bones of Muhammad. It's not like the tooth of somebody else. They only have a tooth. They say this was his tooth, and people come from all over the world to go and worship that tooth, which is probably from Itasca, just his tooth fell out. I love Itasca. So, and then he says, yes, and we are found to be false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ. He goes, well, that also makes me a false teacher and a false witness of God Almighty because I preach the resurrection in his name. And that makes me the devil if Jesus is not resurrected from the dead. And then in verse 16 and 17, he said, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. So you can't be transformed without resurrection power. And I'm going to get to this because I want to tell you something. Ladybug right here on the front row, has your life been transformed? Yes. Just say, see, Pastor. Yes. I know it has. Gloria. Woo-hoo. Is there anybody else in here that you can actually say, my life has been transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay. Well, that doesn't happen unless Jesus is resurrected from the dead. You have the same power living in you that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. Is there anybody in here that you can say without shame that I was addicted to drugs and then Jesus Christ healed me of all of it? Okay, that doesn't happen if Jesus is not resurrected from the dead. Is there anybody in here that you can actually say, God Almighty did a miracle in my health and I would have died if Jesus didn't heal me? Is there anybody in here like that? That cannot happen unless Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We could go on and on and on, and this is what Paul is saying. All of this comes from the central focus and the point of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And even though a lot of our woke brothers and sisters who have adopted all of these doctrines of demons into national denominations, well, we choose not to emphasize the fact that Jesus resurrected from the dead. We choose to emphasize his love. We choose to emphasize, which they redefine love. They redefine the covenant. They redefine the rainbow. They redefine genders. They redefine it all. And they bring this madness to humanity. And then they expect us to just drink their Kool-Aid. They don't know me. Because Jesus is resurrected from the dead. He is. I know that in the day that you and I live in, you're not supposed to address the horrible hostility that they have against us because that makes us the bad guy. And I would just say, quit that. Address it and call it what it is. Call it what it is. And stand in a good place and say, no, I stand with Jesus and this is not going to go unanswered on my watch. The Lord is counting on us in this day, my friend. Well, I don't know. It kind of seems crazy. It's like you're acting like the world is not our friend, Pastor Troy. So you can't be born again unless Jesus is resurrected from the dead. You can't be born again unless Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Is there anybody in here you can say, I have been born again and I'm a new creature in Christ? You're living proof that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. He's resurrected from the dead. He is. And it's a game changer. It changes everything. Everything. I want you to open in your Bibles, if you would, John chapter 20. I only have a few minutes left, and we got to get ready for our third service. And I'm gonna go through this. Well, we got a runaway over there? Wait, what's happening over here? Hey, man, what are you doing? Hey, buddy. Hey, you. Hey, man, what you doing? How's my friend? Hey, it's good to see you, too. Happy Easter to you. Thank you very much. Right on. Okay, go back to class. See him doing his victory dance, man? He said, that was what I was looking for. That. That mom's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, I love that kid. That kid's a young Troy Brewer. So here's the story. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark. Your faithfulness in dark places qualifies you to see resurrection power. If you don't get anything else, if you can't remember anything else I preached, let me say that again. Your faithfulness in dark places qualifies you to see resurrection power. And she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and she came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And we know that that's the weirdo known as John, who is the author of this book. I wish I had time to just point out what a strange cat the Apostle John is. So here's one of his eccentric weirdo things. I don't want to really call myself to attention, so I'm just going to call myself the disciple whom Jesus loved. But you're going to find out it's me at the end of the book, and I do want everybody to know that I'm God's favorite. You ever known people like that? It's like, what are you doing? And how that he doesn't really hang out with the boys. And when he does, his brother, James, it always says that when James talks, it says, and James and John said. So what that means is John just stood there looking at James. And James will say, I say we ought to do this. And he can go, yeah, I say we ought to do this. Those people will get on your nerves, right? And then he doesn't really hang out with the dudes. He hangs out with the women. He's always with the girls, always. Like, why are you hanging? Because he's a mama's boy. That's why. It's true. He's the son of Zebedee, but he's always hanging out with mamas. And when Jesus at the Last Supper is literally the last Passover Seder, it is a holy thing. John puts his ears on the chest of Jesus, and Jesus is having to do the Passover Seder with the brother hanging out under his beard. I'm telling you, he gets on the other disciples' nerves so bad, specifically Peter, that at the end of the book of John, whenever Peter and John are walking on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus starts talking to Peter about how his death would glorify him. He's like, Peter, I know that you're in this crazy time continuum thing, you know, but I'm not. And I've been to your death day, and I've seen it. Brother, pardon the pun, but you're going to kill it. You're going to glorify me. You're not going to bail. I've seen you. And he said, this he said concerning how his death would glorify, which, by the way, aren't you glad that you don't have to wait until you're gasping your last breath of Texas air to try to say the right prayer? Jesus is already with you on that day right now. He's already there right now. And the Bible says the disciple whom Jesus loved followed close behind. I don't think Peter invited him because he's so much on Peter's nerves that Peter turns around and said, tell me about his death. That's in the Bible. So let's not talk about my death. Let's talk about his. And then he gets slapped by Jesus and says, if you're not careful, I'll just let this brother never die. Okay, what kind of a person would Jesus say that about? The kind of person that gets on your nerves. If you don't watch out, Peter, I'll make sure this brother never dies. Like, no, I'm sorry. So much humanity. And yet, I want to tell you about John. He ends up being the greatest of all the apostles. He ends up being the greatest. And that's the way it always works, isn't it? Okay, so Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. Okay. See? I mean, you know he still knows Peter in this day, and he puts it in the canon of Scripture that he can outrun Peter. That's crazy to me. That's nuts. All right. And then Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb, and he saw that the linen clothes were. Okay, I want to stop. Here's something good that he did, because here's Peter's testimony. You might have got there first, but I was the first to enter in. What were you scared of? Yeah, that's me. You probably outrun me, unless there's a bear after me. You won't outrun me if there's a bear. I only have to outrun one of y'all. But if I have anything to say about it, I want to be the first one that jumps in. And Peter is very much like that, and I love him for it. And he said, and he saw that the handkerchief that had been around his neck was not lying with the linen clothes, but was folded together in a place by itself. Okay. This is part of the genius of John in writing these scriptures. And it goes like this. It's true. It's true that Peter went in there first. And John actually said that. But when he saw, okay, the linen clothes that he was, his mummy clothes was still wrapped up, which means he came through the clothes without unwrapping it. That's crazy. Like, what could this possibly mean? But also, the handkerchief that was tied around his jaw to keep his mouth from opening during rigor mortis, it was all neatly tied up and in a separate place. All right. A lot better preachers than me have preached this message, and I'm sure many people taught it today, which is fun to me to think all of my brothers and sisters throughout the world, many of them are actually telling you the same thing I'm telling you today. And it's this thing in Jewish culture, in ancient Jewish culture, if you sat down to eat at somebody else's table, there was a proper protocol of how you expressed if you liked it or if you don't. Like in Texas, there is no protocol to express you didn't like it because that'll get you beat up here. But we're talking about Jewish people. And arguing is their love language, right? So they fully expect you to tell me if you didn't like my meal. So what is that? If you liked it, you tied it up, you took your napkin, you went, thank you. And then you tied it up. If you liked it, you put it on the table with the food that was served to you. If you didn't like it, you tied it up and you placed it in a different place to say, I'm never going to taste that again. When Peter saw the handkerchief of Jesus, he knew that Jesus was saying, I've tasted death and I'm never going to taste it again. So beautiful. And then John goes on to say, then the other disciple, whom came to the tomb first, he went in also, and here's what he says, and he saw and believed. He's a jerk. I'm sorry. He's like, I want y'all to know, Peter might have made it in first, but I was the first one to get it. Isn't that funny? It sounds like Trey Smoker wrote this. So, for as yet, they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. So after the boys left, the girl is still standing there. And then so many times, that's the way it's been in the body of Jesus. Where the women have had to be in faithful, very difficult, dark places because the boys left. And she went in, she stooped down and she looked into the tomb and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Now, this reminds us of the Ark of the Covenant over the mercy seat, right? But it says that the scriptures had not been revealed yet, which means they're still in the dark place. None of it makes any sense. And I don't know how it made sense to her that there were two. And I don't know if she knew then that they were angels. I don't think she did. Because when Jesus shows up, she thinks that he's the gardener. I just thought, good gosh, there's people in here. And one is sitting here and one is sitting there over the linen cloth where Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. And one of those angels actually spoke to her and said, woman, why are you weeping? And she said, well, because they've taken away my Lord and I don't know where they've laid him. So again, she's so out of her tree going, we got to find his body. The hits just keep on coming. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Man, we got to find his body. What are we going to do? That's still how she's addressing the whole situation. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. Because one of the ways that she received, woman, why are you weeping, is this. It's inappropriate for you to cry in this place, in this moment. So she turned around. She knew what they were saying. Hey, you can't bring those tears in here. This is a holy place. And she's like, yeah, it is a holy place, but I don't know what they did with the body of Jesus. I have to find that body. I have to. So she backs out, she turns around, and boom, a dude is standing there. Now, when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. This is a big part of the Jesus experience that you and I will always carry until we see him face to face, is he's going to be involved in so many things within our lives that we're not going to know it's him. What that means is he's not on trial. We are. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping and whom are you seeking? He adds the whom are you seeking. And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, just tell me where you laid him and I'll take him away from there. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. When she heard our beautiful Jesus say her name, she knew who it was. And she turned to him and immediately said, teach me. That's a total place of surrender. There's a way I think about this. There's a way I have a grid for it. There's a way my people think about it. There's what the disciples think about it. You tell me how to think about this, and that's what I'm going to do. That's a surrendered life. You know, you can surrender like Mary did today. And you can just say, Lord, teach me. I will surrender to whatever you say, however it is that you say it. But Jesus said to her, do not cling to me. Now, I want to tell you this. It doesn't mean do not touch me. And in the King James, it actually says do not touch me. But it actually means do not keep on touching me or do not keep on clinging to me. Are y'all with me on that? So what that means is she jumped on him like white on rice. And he's like, look, I can't just stay here and hug with you. I have to go see the Father. Right on. So she's clinging to him. Now remember, whenever Jesus was first born into the womb, was first born into the world, as he came from the womb, there was a woman by the name of Mary that clung to him. And as soon as Jesus was born again and resurrected, there was a woman outside the tomb that clung to him. It's incredible, isn't it? So he said, I need you to go and tell the disciples, hey, go and tell them this. I'm ascending my Father into your Father, into my God, into your God. He's like, listen, we're all in this thing together. That's what he says. So Mary Magdalene came out and she told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Wait, stop. Who was the first preacher of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? But, no, come on, it had to be somebody else, because we don't allow women to preach in churches. See, women are not allowed to preach in most churches, but women are allowed to preach in a Jesus church. Let's go and just say. While men will not hire women or work with women to spread the gospel, Jesus does. So I'm just going to just stop and not give any more and ask the band to come up here. And here's what I want to tell you this. Jesus did show up in their midst and the door was closed. He showed them the holes in his hands. We had a brother by the name of Gabriel Perot was here on Wednesday night. Gabriel Perot is one of my buddies. He's a little brother to me. I love him. He was dead for 18 days. What? Yeah. Medically documented, dead for 18 days, completely brain dead. For 18 days, his brain was like mashed potatoes, and you can see it on the x-rays. His brain is so whack. It's so messed up. And while he was dead, he was with the Lord for 18 days. And he said that one of the things happened when he came into the holiness of Jesus, and he was walking, and Jesus came up to him, and he was like, oh, no. Oh, no. And Jesus asked him and said, why are you concerned about something I've already paid for? Hey, Gabriel, why are you concerned about something I've already paid for? And he said, look at this. And he showed him this hole. And the hole was about this big, and it was right here where the Romans put it. And written on the palm of his hand by the hole was the name Gabriel. Whenever, I really believe, and though the Bible does not say this, it's just speculation, I really believe that when Jesus showed up and showed Thomas the holes in his hand, it had the name Thomas written on it. Oh, don't forget about this one too. This is pretty gnarly. Look at this one, dude. Thomas. Because that's what boys do, right? Oh, no, I'm showing you this, man. Check this out. There's an Old Testament verse, Old Testament, where God Almighty, Yahweh, declares, I love you so much, I have engraved your name on the palms of my hands. And that's why I think Thomas, when he saw the holes in his hands, I think he also saw his name there, I bet, because he said, you are my God and you are my salvation. I'd like to ask everybody to stand up. The Spirit of the living God is here because Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And for 2,000 years, preachers have been standing behind pulpits of every race, speaking every language you can imagine on this day, and proclaiming either in persecuted, hidden church services or in free churches where we can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, if we can overcome the voices of the haters and not be intimidated into staying home. They've got up and they've said the same as I have today, the same as Pastor Gloria did for years and years before she turned this building over to me, the same as her daddy did, the same as my daddy did, the same as all of our heroes before us have done, whether in an amazingly complex message or a simple one like I gave today. We just said, Jesus is risen. Let that be settled within your heart. And what does that change if that's real? I feel the Lord moving right now. And this simple preacher, I have nothing else to offer you today. I don't have a fancy show. I'm not the smartest knife in the drawer. I'm not even educated. But I have something that can absolutely change your life that I offer to every single little girl and little boy that we rescue throughout the world. And I tell them, my goodness, how Jesus loves you. And I tell them, he's resurrected from the dead. And he's overcome all of that, even this terrible mess you come out of. He's overcome all of it. And in the midst of whatever it is that you come out of, in the midst of whatever shameful places that you visited, in a voluntary way and also in an involuntary way, what I can tell you is this: he's resurrected from the dead, and he doesn't bring us shame. He brings us redemption. And that's his idea. That's not our idea. That's his idea. Bow your heads, guys. Father, let this be a holy moment between all of us and between you. Convict us and change us and heal us. Your spirit, your power, your resurrection, your glory, your promise, your covenant, your breath. Is there anybody here today on this Easter Sunday in the year 2026? Is there anybody here today that you say, I feel the Lord and I am going to believe for the rest of my life that Jesus is resurrected, and I got to believe that he did that for me, that it wasn't in vain that he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and within the palm of his hand. Today, I give my heart to Jesus. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand high to the Lord. Look at all these hands. There's hands everywhere. That's good. No, no, he's saving you right now. He's saving you in every way a person can be saved. You're finally coming home, and it's real. It's not, you're not signing up to even go to this church. You're signing up for Jesus to be the church. You're signing up to be saved and to be healed and to be set free in every way a person can. So all you guys that have raised your hands as a testimony of how you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to repeat this prayer. And I want everybody here who is saved to pray this prayer with your brand new brothers and sisters in Christ. Say, King Jesus, please forgive me. Please receive me. I'm running to you as fast as I can. I'm coming to you. So thank you for healing me, for saving me. And from this day forward, I belong to you, and you belong to me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, let's give the Lord Jesus Christ a great big praise. A great big praise in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. The resurrection power of Jesus. Man, that's it. That's the message. That's the gospel. And gosh, I love when Pastor Troy gets a little fired up too.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah.
I always love those moments where he gets fired up. But he brings it down at the end. And mm-hmm. As you guys saw, there was a ministry moment there as well. But such a powerful message. And I want to encourage you guys, let us know in the comments what resonated the most with you from this time, from his sermon. What really stuck with you that you're going to be thinking on, that you're going to be digesting over the next few days? Let us know what that is in the comments below. And thank you so much for joining us. Tomorrow, we're all going to be in studio. We actually have a guest. Pastor David Whittington mm-hmm. is going to be here.
Yes.
And he is, man, a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. All I know, I mean, we've met him, and he's, I think, been on the show before, and he's been in the house before and preached here before. But he and his wife have a big home. I forget where they live. And just to give you a little taste of the type of Washington. Pastor and man mm-hmm. he is, they have homeless people that live in their home with them.
Yeah.
And that they take in. And his heart for being the hands and feet of Jesus is so real, in the same way it's so real for Pastor Troy and Pastor Absolutely. Leanna and all of us here, part of this team. So I know you guys are going to love it tomorrow. It's going to be so great. Of course, Pastor Troy will be here in the seat, and it's going to be a great show. So make sure you join us here, same time, same place tomorrow, guys. Until next time, we call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye, everyone.